Welcome to Awaken Podcast. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Awaken. So glad you could join us this morning. My name is Eric. I'm the office manager here at Awaken, if we haven't met yet. Each Sunday, we always begin with just a call to worship, just kind of an opportunity to center ourselves as we gather together. This morning, I want to just begin with a simple question. How is your soul? For some, maybe that's a really easy question to answer. You know immediately, what are you holding? For others, that may be a really difficult question to answer. Maybe life is feeling really complicated and messy right now when you're not really sure how to answer that question. How is your soul? Are you happy? Are you lost? Are you angry? Are you learning? Are you listening? Maybe it's been a while since you've asked yourself that question. Maybe church has never really been a place where you could give an honest answer to that question. Anything short of joy and happiness just felt out of place. So this morning, I just want to offer a posture for consideration. This comes from a book called Seeds Planted in Concrete, written by Bianca Sparacino. In it, she asks the question, are you happy? And offers this in response. In all honesty, no. But I am curious. I am curious in my sadness, and I am curious in my joy. I am ever seeking, ever feeling. I am in awe of the beautiful moments life gives us, and I am in awe of the difficult ones. I am transfixed by grief and by growth. It is all so stunning, so rich, and I will never convince myself that I cannot be somber, cannot be hurt, cannot be overjoyed. I want to feel it all. I don't want to cover it up or numb it. So no, I am not happy. I am open, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So this morning, may you find space for all that you are bringing with you. As we gather and worship together, I pray for an openness and curiosity to all that we hold in this room, and an awareness that God is here, at work, in the middle of it all.
All right, let's get cracking. My name's Micah, by the way, if we have not met, one of the pastors here at Awaken. So glad that you're with us. If you happen to be new or newer, we'd love to know that you were here. So in the seat pockets in front of you there, or in the pews, or online at awakencommunity.com, you can fill out that card. Let us know you were here. Somebody from our team will reach out and invite you to a beverage of your choice. You can get to know us. We can get to know you a little bit. If you have tithes or offerings this morning, or you fill out one of those cards and you do that here, those can go on the black boxes at each of the exits. There's also a number of ways you can give online. We have an app that is brand new, so if you haven't downloaded that, feel free to do so. Lots of the registrations for things, including some of the things we're going to talk about in a second, are all on there. So feel free to do that. Today there is a pack and play that was a reschedule from a couple of weeks ago when it was like snowing. That's after this hour at Palace Park just across the way. So if you want to join the kids community folks there, that's at noon. There is a partnership class next week, the 28th and the 5th of May. What churches normally call membership at Awaken, we call partnership. And we want to invite you to that if that's a step you would be interested in taking. Two classes we'll do, and that's right after the second gathering both days, 12 to 1:30, and we'll have lunch at both of those, so if you could let us know, that would be great. We'll have lunch for you. And then last but not least, in terms of announcements, we are inviting you to consider joining us on an Urban Camino. So this is a pilgrimage that we're taking. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, May 17, 18, 19. And we're going to be walking to a few places in St. Paul. So we'll start at Awaken. We'll make our way up to the Rondo neighborhood. We'll be hosted by Carl Walker, who is one of the co-leaders, I guess, of Walker West Music Academy in the Rondo neighborhood. He and his wife lost their home when the original Rondo neighborhood was kind of, when they put a freeway through it. So he will lead us in that, and then we'll, on Saturday, make our way over to George Floyd Square. My good friend Kelly Chapman is going to lead us there, and then on Sunday morning, we'll walk down the light rail, basically, to St. Peter's Catholic Church. So it's about 20 miles total. If you're interested in joining, it's $25. And adults, our confirmation students are doing it. We're going to stay at a couple of churches in the evenings. Adults, you're welcome to stay with us. But if you didn't want to and you wanted to, like, you know, do the drop off a car, walk there, go home and join us again, you're welcome to do that. I will say that a true Camino pilgrimage does not include that. But, you know, to each their own, right? My grandpa used to say, to each his own, said the old lady, she kissed the cow. So there you go. Well, with that, Troy, I'll invite you up. Troy is going to offer just a brief, report of IJM. IJM is one of our missional partners at Awaken. They are on the wall in the back in the gallery, one of a number of them. So, Troy, share a little bit about what you're doing.
Thank you. Hold your applause to the end.
Yep.
great to be here. I'm Troy Groves. I've been here at Awaken for quite a while, and often get mistaken for this guy right here. People at the end thank me for the great sermon. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, please don't make eye contact with me. And they walk very, very disappointed in you. So,
that explains a lot.
Yeah,
explains a lot.
All these cold shoulders.
Relationships and yes. Experience. Yeah.
So International Justice Mission, we are the largest anti-slavery organization in the world, led by the church, really, led by people of God that are standing up to oppressors around the world. We are investigators, lawyers, aftercare specialists, working in about 22 communities around the world. There are about 50 million people enslaved today, still more than any other time in history. But the good news is that in nowhere, in no country, is it legal to enter into bonded slavery or to prostitute a minor, basically. So this is the work that we do, ending modern-day slavery and addressing the injustice and bringing perpetrators to account. So to date, we've rescued over 90,000 children from slavery and oppression. We have over 6,000 arrests and convictions of perpetrators and have trained over 300,000 officials in this work. So grateful for partnerships like Awaken and churches and people of God around the country that are really leading the charge in this. So just a quick, usually just bring like an update or a briefing of something, recent news, and it's a little nerdy. Any like data nerds in the room? Yes, spreadsheet, love a good spreadsheet, good.
Spouses pointing at each other.
Quite a few,
yeah.
Quite a few, more than most places. So we had a briefing a few weeks ago about some of the studies that have been done in communities where we work. We find that it is really crucial that we prove what we're doing actually works. It's crucial to the partnerships we have with governments and partners and foundations. And so there's a third party that comes in separate from us, and they do a prevalence study in the communities where we work. They take a baseline study of slavery and violence in these communities. Then we work for 5 years or so, and then there's a follow-up study done, again, by these third parties, and then they produce the results. So our most recent briefing that we had in February, about 9 communities where we've instituted this, we have in these communities, Cebu, Manila, Pampanga, Uganda, Mumbai, Kolkata, Cambodia, Dominican Republic, and in Tamil Nadu, and our goal is always to reduce by 50% or more. We reduced between 50 and 86% in 9 communities. We were 9 for 9 in these areas, and we're grateful to God for that. So that constitutes a lot of perpetrators in jail and a lot of children in freedom. And there's a great quote by Martin Luther King Jr. that I love. He says, "Those who love peace and justice need to learn to organize as effectively as those who love violence." And I feel like that's the path that we've chosen here, and that's what you're getting behind. The community of Awaken is getting behind. So IJM.org for more information. But Awaken is a place where we have pancake breakfasts for the community, and we have trunk or treats. And
prom.
We have baby dedications, and we have amazing messages and amazing music. But you're also involved in protecting abused children around the world and bringing justice on their behalf. So way to go, Awaken.
Yeah.
Love this community. Thank you.
Thanks, Troy. Some of you have been around when we've talked about justice, and I often talk about downstream justice and upstream justice. Downstream justice is caring for the needs of those who are harmed or are oppressed, who are hungry. And upstream justice is the work of IJM, working with legislators and lawyers and prosecutors to actually bring to account. So thanks for the work that you do and for the work that we get to participate in. You guys do that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We are in week two of a series called Corner. This is a series about generosity. We began it last week, and we were in Deuteronomy 24, where we hear what is often understood as a command from God to the people of God. When you harvest your fields, don't harvest all the way to the edges, but save a corner for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. And last week, I invited you to think about that as a warning. As a warning, because God is generous in essence. And because God is generous in essence, and God creates humans in God's image, that to be human is to be generous. Said differently, to be selfish or stingy is to participate in a less human experience on planet Earth, right? And so I invited you to consider and think about, what does it look like to take one part of your life? You get to choose and sort of filter it through that lens of generosity. In light of God's essence and in light of who God made us to be, what does it look like for me to take this one portion of my life and try to kind of push it through that lens of generosity to see what might come out on the other side? And I hope that you took that seriously. I hope that you spent some time thinking about that. When we gather on Sunday mornings, it's my hope and prayer that there is a circus carnival with peanuts and popcorn, and you're all entertained. No, that is not what I hope for. I hope that you take seriously the call of Jesus to follow this way of being human in the world. And whether you're convinced or you're skeptical or you're somewhere in between, that you would think seriously about what it means to follow this Jesus. So, today we want to keep going. We're gonna stay kind of high level, and we're gonna be in the book of Ecclesiastes, an ancient Hebrew wisdom text. And what we're gonna see is three different pictures, three different images, three different postures that the wisdom writer offers, and the folly or wisdom that comes from living as such. So if you have your Bibles, and full confession, I had to find the table of contents to find Ecclesiastes today, you guys. It's a tough one. It's real small, and it's kind of buried. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I'll invite you to stand if you will, and we're going to hear from Mike, who's going to read our text for us this morning. So,
again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is the one who has never been born, who has not seen the evil that is under the sun. And I saw all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business.
Pray with me, if you will. God, this morning, and we hear, listen to the mildly depressing words of Solomon, I pray that there would be a nugget of truth that we would be able to find and that we would be able to follow. So by your Spirit, do your work among us and in us, I pray, that we might have ears to hear and eyes to see, a spirit that's tender and open to what you are doing and inviting us to this morning. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit, the church said together, amen, amen. You may be seated. So when I was in college, Laura and I met a couple whose name was Paul and Vicki Peterson. And Paul and Vicky were, at that time, to us, we were like 20. They were old. They were like 60, 65, and retired, or moving towards retirement. And they just welcomed a bunch of college kids into their home. They were very involved in Young Life. Young Life is a high school ministry. And they would invite those who, the leaders who were part of Young Life, to come and just hang out with them at their house once a week and have dinner. And what Laura and I saw, which we didn't really expect, was a particular, a couple who were living with a particular posture in the world. And that posture was one of like non-anxious presence. There was a deep trust and faith that wasn't articulated, but was implicitly like seen and observed by this couple who just said like, what's ours is yours. Come, you walked into the house and you were given, you know, a knife to chop onions or set the table or here's the glassware, you know, do this, do that. And you were just welcomed as one of the people who was in that community that night. And I saw maybe for the first time what I think the wisdom writer is getting at, buried inside of this mildly depressing text, right? Ecclesiastes is the wisdom of Solomon. So if you remember in 1 Kings, the third king of Israel, Solomon, is visited by God, and God says, ask what I will give to you. And Solomon, in a moment of brilliance, doesn't ask for power or money or women. He asks for wisdom. And God gives it to him. And so Ecclesiastes becomes kind of Solomon's looking out at the world and his treatise or his offerings of like the wise way of being human in the world as a person who follows, loves, and knows God. And as you might imagine, if you were to look out on our world today, it does get pretty depressing out there, doesn't it? And in Solomon sort of like looked at the landscape, he saw all these things where people were chasing after things that ended up not actually fulfilling or bringing joy. And he saw the ways in which things were broken or unjust, and he mentions them. But in the middle of this text, which we're going to focus on this morning, is verses 5 and 6. And he offers a sandwich. And when we read it, it's easy to miss because it's just the same word translated for us. It's hands or handful. But in Hebrew, it's actually three different Hebrew words. And he offers three pictures, three different images or postures of what it means to be human as it relates to our stuff and who God is. So let's walk these out. Let's unpack this morning. He starts with a fool folds their hands. And there's a little, like a delicious little nugget here because there's a word that he uses and then he sort of combines it with a common ancient Jewish phrase. So the word he uses is yad. And yad means like the hand of or strength or power. In the Bible, when you hear the hand of God, it's the yad of Adonai or the yad of Yahweh, the hand of God. So it's all about energy. It's about intent. It's about potential and means and direction. It's what you intend to do with your capacity, right? This is yad. And the writer combines that with a known Jewish phrase, which we see in Proverbs chapter 6, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And what comes when you do that, poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. So on the one hand, no pun intended, you have yad, right, which is all about intention and desire or your capacity, your means and your direction, what you will do with your energy. And then you have this folding of the hands. So like we've all seen this person, right? They just kind of like do one of these numbers. They're like, I'm not playing. Maybe you have somebody like that in your office and you're like, that guy really bugs me. Or that gal. I find it to be more guys than gals, but either way. A couple weeks ago, we had a staff fun day. So there's a team of people that we have asked to, on our behalf as a staff, like create opportunities for us once a quarter to go have fun together. And I have no control over what we do, which is really fun. I feel like that baby right there. Help me, somebody. So recently, our little fun team decided to send us to an escape room. Has anybody ever been to an escape room before? This is terrible. It's a terrible idea. How is this fun? They lock you in a room, and then you have to like get out together with a group of people. So I don't like surprises, like being scared surprised, you know. I almost punched my wife one time. She came down the basement stairs. We had a screen printing business, and I was like spraying out a screen, so I couldn't hear her coming. And she snuck up behind me and like, ah! And honest to God, you guys, I snapped the handle on the thing and I turned around to hit the person who had done that. I didn't, but don't do that to me, ever, okay? Or you might get punched. So I don't like being scared. I don't like being locked in rooms. And I will be perfectly honest with you. When they told us that we were doing this, I had a very real reaction of like, I'm not playing. I'm taking my yod and I am going somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to offer myself to this process because I don't think this will be very fun. Well, I'm 47. I'm maturing and I'm growing as a child. I mean, as an adult. And so I was like, I'll play. I'm all in, and it was so fun. Turns out you can learn new things. So I had a lot of fun, and I said, you know what, I'm going to bring my intention. I'm going to bring what's in my hand. I'm going to bring my creative problem-solving skills and my, you know, energy, and we're gonna get out of this room, dang it. And we did. We got out of that room faster than a lot of people, I guess. The guy who runs the place was like, you guys did really well. I was pretty impressed, and I was like, yeah, thanks. That was my yod. I mean, our yod. It was our yod, right? Now, so the wisdom writer says, you have this, but a fool folds their hands. And poverty comes upon them, right? Now, why does somebody do that? Why does somebody fold their hands? I think there's a couple of reasons that we find. And the proverb gets to it, right? A fool folds their hand, or a little sleep, a little slumber. Like, just pure laziness sometimes. We have been given energy, means, intention, direction, will, power. We've been given something, and sometimes we're just lazy with it. Like, think of, you know, a high schooler that just never gets out of bed. Not to pick on the high schoolers in the room, but I do that too, and you do that, right? We do this, where, you know, some days we're just like, yeah, I'm not playing. I'm just going to basically eat bonbons and watch Netflix, and I'm not going to engage my intention, my will, my yod in the world for anything good or constructive, because it's just about me today. I do that, and sometimes we do that for periods of time, right? And our project is a little bit more about ourselves than it is about anybody else. Can I get an amen? So sometimes it's just laziness and sloth. But I think other times there's a response to maybe something that we've experienced where we put our yod out there. We put our energy into the world and we got burned. Like, this church has experienced that a little bit, haven't we? Where we put our energy out there and it did not go well for us. And sometimes there's a natural reaction to kind of pull back and say, like, that hurt. I'm not doing that again. And that's normal and natural and very human. It's actually very, like, reptilian, you know? Like, we protect ourselves. I was recently in North Carolina. I went to the Post-Evangelical Collective. It was a little two-day conference down in Raleigh. Lovely town, by the way. It's for a group of people that, like, self-identify as ecclesiologically homeless. And I was like, yeah, that fits. That fits us. And I go there, and I'm sitting, like, session number one. They introduce the MC of the event, and it's this, like, short little southern queer woman who is, like, 60, 65, has this very maternal kind of grandma energy, very funny. And she gets up, and she starts talking. She's telling some jokes, and she's got the whole room in the palm of her hand, and I'm like, this lady is really good. And then she stops, and she just kind of looks at the room, and she said, you know, I know that there are a lot of pastors in this room who have lost and suffered a lot making space for people like me and my wife. And I just want to say thank you. And I just lost it. On behalf of this community, like, to hear from the front, you're not the problem. In fact, we're grateful for you. As if to say, don't stop putting your hands out into the world. Don't stop using your energy and your will, your yod, for the good work of God and justice and love in the world. Don't stop. A fool folds their hands. Don't do that. That's an impoverished experience of humanity. So that's the one picture, right? There's a little sandwich that the author creates. On the other end, two handfuls with toil and chasing. And this is the word chofen, and it's like, imagine this, like a fist, like grasping, striving. It's like a closed hand or taking. If I were to, what's the word I'm looking for? translate this idea into our world, like this is the rat race, this is like throwing elbows, you know, this is like striving, competition, taking up and to the right, like don't stop, go, go, go. Does anybody have anybody like this in your workplace? I live in the church world, so none of us do this, right? But like this is, it's just like a constant desire for power and wealth and up and to the right. There's this movie that I love watching around Christmas time called Family Man with Nick Cage, because everybody needs a good Nick Cage movie, do you know what I mean? And he's like a stockbroker in Wall Street, like arbitrage and acquisition, and his world is like penthouses and a Ferrari. And he gets a glimpse of another life, which is New Jersey and a minivan and a wife and a couple of kids and changing diapers and picking up dog poop and taking out the trash, right? And in his new glimpsed life, he meets sort of by happenstance the boss in his former life. And he sort of weasels his way into a job interview with this company, Lassiter, PK Lassiter. And he goes to the job interview and he smashes it, right? He's really good at this game. And he gets a job offer. And part of that job offer is a perk, like a penthouse suite for new executives. And so he's surprising his wife in this moment. He's like, honey, I want to show you something. And she's like, what is this? He's like, it's a perk for new executives. And he says this. He's like, Kate, and she's not in on this, right? So he says, Kate, you're not understanding me. Like, I'm talking about a perfect life, a great life, everything we ever pictured when we were young. Like, life's thrown us a few surprises, but like, I can get us back on track, and I want to get us back on track. As a man, I need to do this. Like, think about this. Like, no more lousy restaurants. No more clipping coupons. No more shoveling snow. Like, I'm talking about us finally having the life that other people will envy. You know, and a great, great moment in great line in the movie. And she says, like, honey, we already have the life that other people envy. What is it about, like, what kind of person is willing to sacrifice, like, a family and a community and, like, the hard nitty-gritty things of life that in the end we actually do long for what we think we want, which is penthouses and Ferraris and more money and more power. It's chofen. That's what the Hebrew wisdom writer is picturing. That striving, like grasping, taking two handfuls with toil and chasing. So yad, a fool folds their hands, they disengage. Chofen, two handfuls, chasing and toil. And then you have this right in the middle, this nugget, like here's the path. And it's this word yad, one handful with tranquility. Kaf is the palm or the hollow of your hand. And it absolutely has to do with power and influence, but it's this picture. So here's an all-play question. If you've never been to Awaken, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. As you like think about or see this, right, a palm raised or a palm turned upwards towards open, like what words or phrases would you use to describe this image right here? Hold it loosely. Thanks for saying that loudly. Say it again. Uplifting. Like holding seeds. Yeah. Humility. Peace. Offering. Vulnerable worship. Roots and wings. Okay. Acceptance. Like, you could take something from this. Right? I'm not protecting it. I'm not, but you could also receive in this moment. Like this image says, here, take and eat. It's yours. It says, thank you for this gift. It speaks of a knowledge that it's not mine. Right? This, on the other hand, is like, this is mine and I'm going to protect it at all costs, which is you. Right? But this is like, it's generous, isn't it? One handful with tranquility than two handfuls chasing and toiling. Many of you have met with me when you've come to Awaken, and I'm guessing that if you did, or you've been to Discover Awaken, you've heard me talk about this idea that as it relates to you all, this is a practice that we have installed from the very beginning of Awaken, and I probably said to you, we hold you with an open hand. Which is to say, we trust, we want to be the kind of community that trusts that the Spirit of God is at work, and you are not ours. But you are the Lord's. Like, you are on a journey, and the Spirit is present in that journey. And so our job is to hold you with open hands, trusting that the Spirit is at work and leading you maybe to Awaken for a season or maybe away from Awaken. And that's all welcome. Like, it all belongs. And so this practice is something that we have been trying to do from about year one of Awaken. One handful with tranquility, which speaks of trust and non-anxious presence. Friends, generosity, before it ever makes its way into the world by a gift or time given or passion offered, it's rooted in a particular understanding of who God is. It's rooted in a particular understanding and relationship to your stuff, to your yod, your potential, your capacity. And when we believe that God has given it and we don't disengage, but we invest it, or we don't grasp for more and more and more, there is a way by which, even amidst all the depressing news of the world that Solomon sees and that we see, that offers, at least the wisdom writer thinks, offers a way to life and joy and fulfillment as a human being. Better one handful with tranquility than folding your hands and disengaging or grasping, trying, vying, taking. I don't think I have to convince you that the world needs more of this. Yes? This is the way of Jesus. So whatever you've learned about church or God or Jesus, I would just offer this to you, maybe as a counter, maybe as an encouragement, maybe as a reminder, that this is the way of Jesus, and this is the invitation to you this morning. So may you become the kind of generous person who gets this deep in your soul, better one handful with tranquility. I don't have to vie. I don't have to strive. I don't have to grasp. I don't have to protect. If it begins in abundance and blessing, and that's what we're made from, then this is how we actually live the most human life. And I would suspect that the world needs more of this, not less of this. Amen? Let me offer a word of prayer and a moment for you to consider, and then we'll make our way to the table. God, as we take a moment to pause this morning, and we hear the wisdom of an ancient text, I pray that if there's anything that's true and right and good about it, if there's anything that is connected to you and who you are, that you would let it sink deep down inside of us and grow, that it would take root in our hearts and our lives. So do this work in us now, Holy Spirit. Over on my left and your right is a banner with six values on it. And it's the things that we value at Awaken, that we want to be in front of us all the time. There used to be 10, and generosity used to be on there, but we don't value that anymore. Of course, I'm joking. Values of a community change based on what the Spirit of God is doing. And so those are the six we want in front of us. But I want to close with what we had written about generosity, because it's my hope and my prayer for you, for us. Awaken believes that people who follow Jesus should be the most generous people in the world. God has poured out God's love and blessing on us so that we can be a blessing in the world. So living a life of generosity is at the core of what it means to follow Jesus. And so we will be generous with our time, our energy, our resources, and our love. Amen? So go with the blessing of God, knowing your job in the world, which is to follow this very narrow path of one handful with tranquility. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The church said together, amen. Amen. Grace and peace, friends. See you.
Find us online at www.awakencommunity.com
or on Facebook at www.facebook.com.
/awakencommunity.
On Twitter, awakencommunity.
See you next time.